I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down with comedian and podcaster Alexis Strum. I met Alexis a while ago when she guested on the Hardcore Listening podcast, and during that chat, which is an ace chat, and I suggest you give it a listen as well, it became apparent that Alexis has had a really interesting career in music leading up to what she's doing now, and had great taste in records. So when we finished that chat, I was like, you should come on Off the Beaten Track. We should talk records, and that's what we've done. And it's a lovely chat, and it's a funny chat, and you're about to hear it. Before we press play on that chat, just quickly, big thanks to Scroobius Pip and my brothers and sisters at the Distraction Pieces Network. Much love to 76 for producing this podcast. And if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then when you finish listening to my chat with Alexis, then why not head over to the archives and have a look? Because there's about 170 episodes available now, and you can hear my chats with the likes of, Maxine Peake, Amanda Abington, Jade Adams, James Acaster, Public Enemy, Deftones, Kaiser Chiefs. Go and have a rummage in the archives, and I'm sure you'll find something that will tickle your fancy. And if that's not enough, I do also have a Patreon page which accompanies this podcast. So each week I put up 4 radio shows, some video episodes, and some unique Patreon-only episodes as well. So you get access to bundles of stuff. So why not go and check that out? You can find out about all of this at www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. That's beat and track, not beaten. Offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Right, let's get back to today's episode. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with the wonderful Alexis Strum.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Sitting opposite me today via the means of Zoom is Alexis Strum. Good morning.
Good morning, my love.
It is morning as well, isn't it? It's quite it's 9:30 a.m.
Yeah, it's a bit early, but I'm used to this. I have a very small alarm clock who's about that high. Well, you can't see that if you're listening on the audio, but she's very small and she wakes me up at 7 every morning with an elbow in the face, which I think is the best way to wake up.
Lovely, lovely. I mean, one of my... when we're talking about... Obviously, we're going to get onto intros shortly, but one of the intros that I can no longer listen to is There's Nothing Like This by Omar, because that was my alarm clock when I was about 20 to about 25. Because it's a really nice way to wake up, that doom. It's a nice gentle way to ease you in. And like, but now I just, if I hear that, and it's a great intro, but I do just think, oh, it just gives me that kind of that pang of fear in your belly, like, oh, I've got to go, I've got to go work. And it's completely ruined Omar for me. But
I think this is one of the tools that terrorists use, isn't it?
Oh, Omar?
I meant repetitive music on a loop that's triggering. But yeah, Omar, probably. There's someone out there in their terrorist cell going, what should we use today? I know. What about There's Nothing Like This? But what about the Cheeky Girls? No. Omar. Yeah.
I reckon I'd be good. How long do you think you could get
Omar pumped into your ears before you cracked?
This reminds me of an episode of White Lines. I don't know if you've watched that series on Netflix.
I have.
You know that scene where they deafen the guy by playing music really, really, really loud? And I imagine that would be the scenario. How many hours of Omar? It would be a good psych challenge, wouldn't it? Probably, I think 24 if you've not had sleep. You'd definitely be weeping, probably blood by that point.
Right.
Just be weeping blood. Yeah.
Okay. Good answer. Well, look, let's leave terrorism and stuff like that over there. And,
okay.
And let's talk track one, Alexis. The song with the greatest ever intro.
Right. Can I just say this is really hard to
pick
one? It's
meant to be hard. That's the thing.
Good. Okay, good. Okay. So the one that I picked after much deliberation is The Tracks of My Tears by Smokey Robinson.
Wonderful.
The guitar. I actually had a little listen through yesterday because I had a short list. The guitar, every time, it like literally pulls me. It gets its anchor into my innards and yanks it out, and I feel like crying straight away. Just it's ever so slightly out of tune as well, which a lot of Motown records at that time, that, you know, they didn't have access to the kind of recording equipment we do now, and there's a slightly out of tune guitar, and it's so mournful that's my go-to. You know, like some days when you want to feel sad. Do you know what I'm? Mm-hmm. I know that sounds weird, but
no,
just
not
like,
at all.
Like I want to summon up some music that's going to make me feel sad because I need to cry. I need to get it out, and that's my go-to. And that intro, as soon as I hear the intro, it's like, as you said, with the Omar triggering thing. Instead of waking up, I just go, ah! It works. Really works.
I mean, I'm always interested. It was something that you just said there. I'm always fascinated by how people approach that. So if you're feeling a little low,
yeah,
you don't reach for the Cheeky Girls or S Club 7. Do you then reach for sadness and just embrace that emotion for a bit?
Yeah, totally. And I've always been that way. I've always been a really emotional music listener. I mean, God, we all are. It sounds crazy. But for me, music is my best friend. Music is the love of my life and will always be there for me despite everything. It's never going to leave me, never going to let me down. So for me, it's like that's my therapy. So, yeah, I just I don't know. I have a little playlist, actually, of sad tracks. Is that? That's you, isn't it?
Well, it is me, yeah. Sorry about that.
Is that Carol coming? She wants to see if you need a kettle.
Bizarrely, it's my wife who's called Carol.
Oh, my God, that's too weird. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, it's just because I was just telling Stu about my lovely neighbour Carol, who needs to be immortalised on a podcast somewhere, and she just comes around all the time and offers me toot from her house. She's great.
That's an underused word as well, by the way, toot.
I know, it's so East London.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Just occasionally just referring to something as a bag of toot is brilliant.
Yeah, it's good. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Track two, the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you.
Okay, so this is a weird one because it's Hans Christian Andersen.
Mm-hmm.
That banging. Banging musical artist, yo. Hans Christian Andersen, Inchworm. Do you know Inchworm?
No.
Inchworm, Inchworm, measuring the marigolds. It's a kid's song.
Okay, I don't know it.
Okay, it's a very sad song about an inchworm. Very melancholy.
A worm that's an inch long?
Yeah.
What's, is an inchworm something that I'm unaware of, or is it just
there's no subtext. It's just a very small worm.
Right.
Who measures the marigolds.
Oh, okay.
If you don't know it, it's like you've not got the joke. It's not a joke. It's a serious song by Hans Christian Andersen. And Danny Kaye, do you remember Danny Kaye? Mm-hmm. So he sung it in a movie. I don't know what movie it was. It might have been about the life of Hans Christian Andersen. But when I was a kid, my first foray into singing was in my dad's amateur dramatics group at the synagogue. And he used to do all the songs from Hans Christian Andersen. So we used to sing that on stage together. And I used to see, you know, like that. Oh, God, it's making me like well up thinking about singing with my dad. My dad's still alive, don't worry. But just like the mournful song and singing with my dad. But it's mournful, but it's kind of uplifting. It's about this little inchworm and he's just really sweet. And yeah, singing it with my dad. Beautiful, beautiful memory.
Lovely. What emotion do you think that was?
Just love. Just love. It's a song about loving this little creature. And just pride. I used to love singing with my dad. I mean, we're not a musical family at all. I wouldn't say my dad's a great singer or anything. But yeah, it's just like, it's nostalgia for me, warmth, and yeah, it's just lovely. And funnily enough, someone found a video of one of these old performances the other day and put it on YouTube. It's like, you know, however old I am, I'm like 25, but it's about 20 odd years old. Or 30, of me and my dad singing. It was beautiful.
Oh, lovely.
Absolutely beautiful, yeah.
And so where was this? Where did you grow up?
Chingford in, what's that, East London, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm out in Hertfordshire. So I feel like I feel like a bit of a traitor sometimes because I still say that I live in London, but I'm not actually in London anymore. Yeah. I'm in the Harts, a borough of Harts now, darling. Broxbourne.
How was it growing up in Chingford?
It was very sort of it's a very conservative town, I suppose. Not really a lot for kids to do. You just sort of hang around in the streets outside the 7-Eleven sort of thing. It wasn't particularly exciting. David Beckham's from Chingford. Norman Tebbit was our MP. And East 17 were one of the bands that lived locally. Mm-hmm. And I used to see them outside the chicken shop. But it was a very simple life, very nice and simple, very similar to the life that my daughter's experiencing now in Cheshunt, you know. It's not a particularly metropolitan place. It's not hustle and bustle. It was a lovely, I had quite an idyllic childhood, really, to be fair.
E17 had the most London names ever, didn't they?
Yeah.
How many bands have got a Terry in them?
Now, Terry was the one that did not sing.
Yeah.
Terry was the one that... I think they just brought him in because they needed a band with a Terry in it.
Yeah, I think Terry had an Xbox.
I think Terry had an Xbox and he had the key to the chicken shop.
Yeah.
And then Brian Harvey, I always used to be impressed with how high his hat was.
What was under
that? That was a smart... That was height. That was to give him height. So it was just air, I believe, Stu. There was just air underneath that. But I used to see them out and about. You know, in those days as well, when you had a big record out and people like would get to know you, they were so accessible.
Mm.
Because if you were a fan, you could just go to that chicken shop and then you'd probably get their autograph. It's not like now when we're sort of people are hidden and deflected beneath walls of social media and people that work for them and stuff. It was very, very different then. So I probably could have got pregnant by his child, you know what I mean? Like quite easily if I wanted to.
Yeah. You've all got our dreams, Alexis. I mean, I thought it was really interesting what you just said there about not getting pregnant by Terry from E17, but just the idea that you felt like people were more accessible then. And I think that's really, really interesting just because I kind of think the opposite, like insofar as maybe not as accessible, but via social media, you know, I quite like the fact that pop stars back then were people that you'd see on the telly. And I mean, where I lived in Essex, aside from Fatima Whitbread, you didn't see anyone. And you know, to see a pop star was like unbelievable. And, you know, growing up, the sort of, you know, the people that I listened to, you know, there's no way that they ever had, like, you know, went to a McDonald's and had a Big Mac or anything like that. But now, through social media, you know, I'm a little bit saddened that I can see that, you know, Gary Barlow's just checked into Burger King in Nuneaton, you know, and he's having nuggets. It's like, oh, man, it's like they're just normal people. Like, and I quite like that kind of barrier, do you know what I mean, of people being, like, pop stars and you know they're something that is like a different breed, and you know you don't know much about them. And I think that social media is kind of giving you a peek behind the curtain a little bit, and I think that's like something's lost there. I think
we're both right. I would say as well that being a fan back then was different, because being a fan was a whole quest. So you would buy tickets to their show. You would wait outside. You'd get to know the band, and it would be over a long period of time. And there'd be one band that you were into, not many, 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 you know. Whereas now on social media, I can see stuff that, as you say, Gary Barlow's up to, Stephen Fry, da, 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 da. And there's just so much content where I think in those days, you really used to have like one or two maybe really big bands that you're into. And I used to think that they were accessible because I would always go and wait by the stage door. You know, I'd always be getting autographs. I had a book of autographs, which no one does anymore. And, you know, sometimes the bands would chat to you. And in that sense, if you had just one person that you were into, the chances are if you kind of stalked out there, I'm giving you stalker tips, Stu.
I'm just wondering how many restraining orders you had put on you.
I mean, I did get Philip Schofield's autograph once. I was very excited about that.
Wow.
He was doing Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever... Did I ever get any autographs?
You must have done.
Howard Jones.
Okay, cool.
I got Howard Jones's at the festival hall in Basildon. I think that was it. Maybe Fatima Whitbread's a couple of times. Oh, Wolf from the Gladiators opened a sports shop in Grays where I live called Wolf Sports. So we'd go
down there and
get an autograph from Wolf from Gladiators.
But didn't it mean something though to get an autograph?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
No one does it anymore, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, getting retweeted by someone, I suppose, or making, you know, writing a post about Wolf and he likes it or comments back is probably a similar thing. But that is that, you know, the endorphin rush is not the same as having their physical name, so that you can then forge checks, obviously, and I mean, much more important.
Brilliant. Yeah. Track three: the song that reminds you of your time at school, please, Alexis.
Well, I was going to go with Smells Like Teen Spirit, but that felt too obvious. So I'm going to go with Cannonball by The Breeders.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, like just so uplifting. I remember being on a coach trip to, I think it was to Florence, actually. We had pretty good school trips in those days before all the money ran out. And went to Florence on the school bus. Really remember it vividly, playing Cannonball to a friend on my cassette recorder and putting the earphones into her ear for the first time and watching her face as she listened to it. You know, that was magical, which is another thing that we don't do that much now. We can't now because of blooming COVID and you'd have to disinfect. But, you know, like that experience of one of my favourite things to do is watch reaction videos on YouTube. And, you know, just seeing people's face when they hear a tune for the first time that you already know and love.
Yeah.
And you go on that journey and you're like, oh, no, wait for that bit. Wait for the guitar solo, wait for that. Cannonball. I mean, she was just so cool, wasn't she?
Beyond cool.
And obviously they had that whole link with the Pixies, who are just ridiculously cool anyway. I think even the Chipmunks have done a cover of a Pixies song.
Really?
Think so. I'm pretty sure. I'll have to go back through my reference points, but yeah, I think so. But the Breeders, yeah, they were just also that sort of time I was getting into playing the guitar and that was sort of doing my first bands at school. And they were one of the only decent female fronted bands. So there was like L7, Hole, but the Breeders were just really accessible. I think they had one guy in the band, didn't they? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was Kim and what's Kim's sister's name?
I feel like I want to say Kelly, but I'm not sure if that's right. Something like that.
Kelly Deal. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Kim and Kelly. Yeah, it's Kelly or Kaylee. I'm sure it is. There's probably people screaming now, just going, how do you not know that? Because Kim's sister wasn't musical at all. And she bought her in the band and said, right, you know, learn to play. And you're going to become one of the Breeders. And I mean, when I think of... Cannonball, I mean, as an indie DJ of 27, 28 years now, I've played that a lot in the clubs over the years. But my instant thought when I think of that is, that encapsulates MTV for me. And it was that video, you know, and just, and it, that, just that opening, like, is it a bass line?
It's a bass, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like that, just that bass line just seemed to be getting used on everything. It was like, and it's so good. And, oh, that's a that's a great shout for a record. So how did you find school, Alexis?
I absolutely loved it. For primary school, not so much. But then secondary school, I just really came into my own. I was very lucky. I went to a school that really championed individualism. So if you were really into sport, great, they'd let you just really nurture that. But if you were really creative, they would totally push you and let you do whatever you wanted to do. And I feel very blessed that I had that opportunity because, you know, I got to do all the sort of acting and music and poetry and all that wanky stuff. So it was great. It was great. A lot of it was to do with boys and that all became like a big obsession. You know, music became intertwined with that. So songs that I was into might have been that a boy liked or that made me think of a boy and how much I loved him and he didn't want me. It was all very much like hormonal music time, you know. Mm. But yeah, I had a great time. Loved it, especially sixth form. It was a blast.
What did you want to be?
Oh, what did I want to be? Well, I was going to be a solicitor or a barrister for a long time. And then I couldn't handle the moral side of it because I thought, what if you've got to represent a murderer? So I think it was just then it was music. It was always bands and music and writing and poems. And the poems that I wrote, so I used to do slam poetry. I used to go into London on the train after school to these like slam poetry clubs and just go and perform my poems. And that was sort of the precursor to writing songs. So I guess I wanted to be a songwriter. But in those days, you didn't really have aspirations to be a pop star because it wasn't actually that glamorous a job to be or something that you could realistically do. So it was more like just being in a band. I think what I wanted to be was a man in a band. It took me a long time to realise that because all my idols, I'd look at them apart from the Breeders. I wanted to be a rock star, wanted to be a man in a band. And
who were you looking up to at that point?
I guess probably the grunge scene was so huge, you know, like Pearl Jam, Soundgarden. Well, Chili Peppers weren't grunge, but that was a big part of that time. And yeah, all the people I looked up to, I was just like, but I want to be the front man in a band. How do I do that? And it was a big struggle. I never really quite managed to achieve that. You know, even when like later on in my music career, I was in a band called Bo Pepper and I was the front person. We did South by Southwest, you know, we're on Radio 1, Radio 2, we did really well. But there'd always be that obstacle and people would say, well, it's really hard getting a female fronted rock band away sort of thing. So,
that's
yeah,
fucking
I don't...
crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy, but it kind of makes sense. I don't know why. There's like, it's the testosterone needed, I think, to command a band. And it just, I don't know. There are some examples where it works, like the Ting Tings kind of work, but they're not, I don't know. I think we're yet to get that great female-fronted rock band. Blondie came close, but then it's just a different dynamic, I suppose. So, yeah, I'm always looking out for that. If someone says, oh, there's this great new rock band fronted by a woman, I'm always interested.
Yeah,
but it's a man's world, unfortunately, still in that sort of area.
So going and doing slam poetry and things like that, was you a confident kid?
Not confident in myself or my looks or anything like that, but I was confident. I've always been confident that I've got something to say that, you know, oh, God, this is going to sound really wanky, but it's about, I read this interview once with Adele and the journalist was saying that she's able to take general emotions and make them personal to you. And that's something that I've always tried to do with, like, whether it's writing songs or doing a podcast or writing a book or a blog or an article. It's just to take my experience and go, okay, well, I'm not just going to write about me because no one wants to know about that, but to try and relate it to you and make it relate to your world. And I think that's what my talent is. I don't know about all the other stuff. It's all just kind of tits and teeth, but I'm able to look at something or a feeling and describe it in a way that that other people can relate to, I think.
For somebody that's, you know, had a career in the music industry, you talked about confidence there. What about drive? Are you very driven?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm still really driven. I mean, I'm absolutely exhausted today because I've been doing all this Twitch stuff and I've been doing podcasts this week. I've apart from yours, doing a rival one. No, I've been doing other ones and stuff. I never stop because I'm always so driven. And it's hard to pinpoint because it's like I want success, but not in monetary terms or infamy terms. But it's just I want my point of view heard. And I want what I feel like I've got to say or what I've got to give to the world heard. So, yeah, I'm always trying to find different vehicles. And I think anyone who's creative, you know, lockdown for me was an opportunity to sit there and go, well, what can I do that's going to actually cheer people up or that's going to, because I know I'm feeling all of this stuff. What can I do to try and get that out there and make people feel a little bit better?
How have you found, not necessarily creatively, but personally, like just the last 5 months. How have you found that?
Lonely. I'd say lonely. I mean, I've never really felt loneliness before. And I have my daughter, my wonderful daughter, but it's a loneliness. It's sort of a world level loneliness. I think we all feel there's just not the same access to those moments of touch or moments of chat that you have in, you know, when you're in your local news agents and you have that chat, everyone's now more cautious. And I think it's a lonely time. I think a lot of interesting art will come out of this period. You know, when we look back in say 2022 and we look back and go, wow, that's like a sort of canon of loneliness really. So yeah, I found it challenging. But very creative, you know. I've got so many ideas of things that I want to do now. It's just a shame that we've sort of, it feels like we're being reset again this week. And, you know, we're sort of looking to another 6 months. It's hard. I have a lot of friends that suffer with mental health issues. And I worry about them and I worry about the world and I worry about, there's sort of an endless list. But what I do every night is I actually make a list on my phone and I prioritize what I'm most worried about. And for some reason that sort of helps.
That's great.
So, because you can't actually worry about too many things at the same time, can you? It's like when you've got two pains, you just can't feel them both.
Completely. And I think, you know, there's no answers at the moment. So, you know, there's, I don't know where people are looking for answers. I know social media and you know, Karen ain't got the answers. I know that on Facebook. I know that for a fact. And so, yeah, I just think, yeah, I'm much like you. I'm exactly the same, Alexis. It's like, right, kind of, what do I enjoy doing that I can do? And what else can I do with, you know, in and around that to keep creating and keep distracting, you know, my brain from some of the things that probably I don't want to be thinking about that's going on in the world right now. So it's, strange times.
It's interesting that you say the distraction, because actually that's what our job is now. Our job is to be the distraction and to be the content and the fun and the, you know, the creative bit.
100%. You know, there's nothing I'm more proud of than being on Scroobius Pip's network, which is called the Distraction Pieces Network, and it is it's Distraction Pieces, and it took me about 6 months to realize, you know, that obviously is the name of his podcast as well, but you know, I think it was like probably about 6 months ago, and I just thought, why am I doing these? I just want, you know, I'm just trying to distract myself, and I listen to podcasts as a distraction as well, and then I just thought, Distraction Pieces, that must be what it's about. And I was like, Pip, dude, I was like, have you called it? He was like, yes, of course. I was like,
oh my God, it took you 6 months. But that's it. That's totally it. That's what we are. We're Distraction Pieces. I love that. What a great metaphor for what we do.
Yeah. You know? Let's not big him up anymore. He gets bigged up by everyone. I can't big him up too much. Track 4, first song you were buying from a record shop.
Okay, I'm probably going to get shot for this, but it was Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini by Timmy Mallett.
Well, congratulations. I think that's possibly the shittest yet. This is the one where they're This is the one where they're always shit, obviously. No one's first record was cool. We know that. But I think that's possibly the worst.
Yeah.
We've had Babylon Zoo. We've had Stilt Skin. I think we've had PJ and Duncan. But yeah, I think Timmy Mallett, you may have...
Have I peaked?
I think so. Congratulations.
Thank you. But I loved it. I mean, I bought it on tape. of course, as you do. And I saved up, that was like my pocket money or something that I really saved up. I knew I wanted it. And yeah, funnily enough, though, recently I got in touch with Timmy Mallett because I've been a lifelong fan of his. And I was talking to him about coming on a show that I do called The Time I Almost and speaking with his management and stuff. And I did say in the email, the first record I ever bought was Timmy Mallett's. And in it, the thing is, though, when I read it back, I looked like an absolute lunatic. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I've been waiting all these years to meet you sort of thing. Yeah. So I'm yet to meet him, but I'm hopeful that it will happen.
One of my good mates, his mum remarried a guy that lived next door to Timmy Mallett, and huh? and they would say lines like, "Yeah, we're barbecuing with the Mallets."
The Mallets.
The Mallets.
Is it actually his real surname?
Can't be. Mallet.
I'm not sure.
I've never heard of another Mallet.
Mm.
I mean, people shouldn't overlook, you know, people. He should not be judged on Bon Ballerina alone. You know,
true.
Whackaday was just the greatest thing ever when I was a kid.
I know, you know, wasn't it? I was hoping they'd bring him back.
And Michaela Strachan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every young lad used to love getting up in the morning. The first thing you'd see would be Michaela Strachan making you laugh. You know, it's great.
I mean, they brought back Mr. Motivator at a brief point at the start of lockdown, and I was hoping they'd bring back Whackaday because I think it'd be great to have like adults that used to watch it on the show playing Mallet's Mallet, but you know, sadly not to be just yet. He has got a book out,
hasn't he? That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, I'm still watching Mallet on the quiet. Don't worry, you're not alone. Where would you have bought that?
In the record shop in Chingford, which sadly doesn't exist anymore.
But oh, it was
the
record an independent? Shop,
yeah, it was an independent record shop. We were so lucky to have that. And you go in and you know, going through the vinyl. Oh, my God, that touch, the touch of vinyl was amazing. So, yeah, I was very lucky to have a local record shop. I don't know if all towns did, but there was always Woolworths was in Walthamstow, so you could go down to Woolworths buy records there on the bus.
Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor, Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range. And it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. In regards to records and stuff, just before we move forward, just keeping it back in the early years, was there records on at home growing up?
Yeah, very much so. So my dad works as an accountant, and all of his clients are music industry people. So he always was like, he used to look after people like the Loving Spoonful, Culture Club. He still looks after Culture Club.
Wow.
Yeah, loads of, I think he did Motorhead as well. And like really, you know, really big name people back in the day. And so there was always talk of music, if not playing music. My dad's really into his music. And I grew up on Michael Jackson, Madonna. My dad used to take me to concerts. You know, he used to take me. I remember seeing the Bad Tour, Madonna's. I don't know which one it was actually, but I went to see all those bands.
Blonde Ambition, True Blue.
Blonde Ambition tour. And then when we used to go on holiday, we'd always factor in a concert as well. So music was always very much part of the agenda.
Oh, wonderful! How was it? Mm. You know, because I saw. I saw Madonna about 6 years ago in Hyde Park, and it was the worst gig I've ever seen. But I love Madonna.
Yeah.
And that period of Madonna in you know, the mid to late 80s, I think some of the best pop music ever made.
Yes.
And I would have given anything to have seen her on them tours. Like, how was that?
Oh, it was a religious experience. I mean, I remember seeing the most impressive one was Michael Jackson when he came on stage and did his Jesus pose. I know it's all wrong now, but he came on stage and he did the Jesus pose. I was crying. I looked around. Everyone in the whole of Wembley Arena was crying by the time he came on stage. It was just such a moment because yeah. he was a god, an absolute god. Now, you know, we don't get... I don't know if acts get that same level of adulation now. Maybe if you go to a U2 concert, it might be similar, I suppose. But yeah, that was insane. It was insane. It was really a religious experience for sure.
I think,
and he was amazing.
I think that was the peak of pop. For me, maybe I'm just saying that because I'm 47. But like, I think Madonna, Jackson, Prince, the fact that them three people was stadium filling. Pop acts,
yeah,
consistently releasing some of the greatest pop music ever. Like, that's rare, you know. I know there's lots of pop bands that sell out stadiums and arenas now, but has their output been as consistent?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As any of those three, I'm not so sure. I guess time.
No, I think the only other moment that feels secondary to that is Oasis and Blur, you know, in their peak, and that whole battle, which was amazing. But the content that they were coming out with was insane. I mean, every single song was a masterpiece.
I think that's one of the things that I always like, because I think Oasis have written some amazing records, without a shadow of a doubt. But I feel that they're like more like the Stones. I think Oasis have got a sound and they don't deviate from it that much.
True.
They've got their sound. Blur's Bowie, you know. Blur, yeah, yeah. Every album is a massive progression, you know, a complete change. And, you know, you can hear the influences on every Blur album, you know, of what, and you can go, oh, right, they've definitely been listening to Pavement now. Oh, right, they've definitely, you know, and you can think, well, Graham's definitely been writing more on this album and stuff like that. And I really like that. But to talk about the creative output at that point of just how prolific both of them bands were, if you look around the time of What's the Story, so if you look at the single Some Might Say, I believe, B-side, Acquiesce. B-side, Talk Tonight. Fucking B-sides.
I know, it's insane.
Let's just leave, I don't really, I've got other songs, I'll throw them on the B-side. Like, bands would give their right arm to write one of them. He's putting them on B-side. Master Plan, you know, stick it on a B-side. It's like crazy, like, you know, to have been Noel Gallagher at that point, the creativity, you know, it just feels like it was just, you couldn't stop it. It was like just pouring out of these incredible songs. Like the fact that Master Plan wasn't a single, blows my mind. I think it's one of the greatest things they've ever done. You think you're listening to the chorus, and then you're like, oh, hang on. No, it's a pre-chorus. Fuck, here's the chorus. Wow. It's like, I think he was at that point untouchable.
Yeah. But it's interesting because I've read interviews with him since that point, and he talks about that period. It's almost like a tragic story, because that flow, it's almost like, I don't know if it's God or it's the universe or whatever that gives you the songs. He was in that flow, and he's even said to himself, he'll never be able to create that, because it was of a time, it was of a socioeconomic period in his life, and all of those factors that were in there that gave him those songs, you know, almost like it's, you put in a touch of anger because you're not where you want to be, and all that stuff that went into the songwriting that you'll never be able to get again. And it's like when people talk about Adele and say, well, her marriage has ended, we'll get a good album this time. You know, it's awful how the process works, but I'm afraid that that is part of the truth of songwriting, is that it's a product. Your songs are a product of where you are in that particular moment. And in that moment, Noel was on fire. He was absolutely on fire. It must have felt amazing every day waking up, having these, you know, these lyrics and ideas in your head, and just being like, having the confidence to go, yeah, this is going to be amazing. I'll put this, get the band together. I'm always interested by how, you talked about confidence before, how bands have the confidence to make a song in the first place. You know, what makes a person wake up and say, I've got a song, I'm going to go into a studio today because I want people to listen to it? Or what makes them an absolute madman, you know? Yeah. And he was just on fire. He had the support of his brother, obviously, as well, who's, you know, people always underestimate what Liam's role was in everything. But without Liam, there wouldn't have been Oasis, because it's his voice. It's so important. Honestly, should we just do an Oasis podcast? Shall we?
But you know, and talking about that creative output, I interviewed Mike Joyce from the Smiths, and he was saying that Johnny Marr couldn't stop writing these incredible records. Every day he'd turn up and go, I've wrote this, and they're like, holy shit. Like, and I mean, that's quite rare to be that prolific. And then I kind of dug a bit deeper and sort of said, like, you know, how is he doing this? He was like, I don't know. Like, he's like, I don't know, because not only was he writing these songs, I think Johnny was like 20, 21, 22 when this was happening.
And that in itself is insane, right?
And managing the Smiths.
Right.
Like, he said, basically, he was managing the band. He was, like, booking our tours, like, in the States. And he said, we was just the word-of-mouth band out there, but we was playing bigger venues than Tears for Fears, who were selling millions of records, like, globally. But he said, it was just, like, when you think, like, how driven this guy was, that he would be this prolific with his creative output, yet still be kind of, you know, handling the band. And probably...
administrative.
Having to deal with... fucking God knows how petulant Morrissey must have been to deal with, like, and having to kind of handle that as well. Like, he said, was just, you know, and I just think some people are just gifted, like, and it is, like, you can work as, you know, as hard as you can, but sometimes I think some people have just got something a little bit extra that is just, you know, just an, whether it's just the ear for it or just the, I don't know, but I think there are people that have moments of genius, and I think that mid 90s, 96, I think Noel Gallagher was definitely fitted into that gang.
And pop music is important. Pop music is a sphere for genius. And, you know, when I first got into songwriting, some of my friends have been like, oh, what, you're rhyming June and Moon and stuff. And it's like, no, actually, I was never that massively successful with it, but It is something so creative, because you can touch so many people. A song that, you know, we're talking about songs that I listened to when I was a kid that still makes me feel something. What a bloody achievement that is for someone to sit there and I wrote that, you know, sort of thing. And of course, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini is way up there in the, the canon of pop music genius. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move forwards. Let's move forwards to some clubbing. The song that soundtracked your time clubbing. And this can be any sorts of clubs. This can be rock clubs, indie clubs, dance clubs, anything.
Okay, so I think I'm going to go with I Got the Key, I Got the Secret. But I don't even know who it's by. I just had it written down, so we'll have to just check that out. I'm not sure. I Got the Key.
Oh, who done that?
I don't know. I'd have to check it. Well, we don't, or I can go with Faithless, I Can't Get No Sleep. But that's just, it just felt like everybody was clubbing to that. So.
Yeah, we've had Insomnia a few times.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, yeah, that's it, Insomnia. Yeah, I Got the Key, I Got the Secret. I feel like it was called Sigma or something
Sigma.
Like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. Stigma, whatever. But that track, just because I remember going on a school holiday, another school holiday, this time it was about 17, 18. And, you know, people were getting into drugs and drinking and all that sort of thing. Everyone was experimenting with who they were and their sexuality and everything. It was like this hotbed of, hormones. And I Got the Key was like part of that time. And just remember dancing around. We probably weren't even in clubs. We were just in our hotel room sort of thing, just dancing around and discovering that kind of music because, you know, we'd all been rockers and whatever. And it felt like, oh, we're moving into this slightly, there's less chords. There's less music. What's going on here? And of course, around that time, actually, I'm having a real memory now. I used to go to Whirligig. Do you remember Whirligig?
With the parachute.
Oh, my gosh. And that reminds me of that time as well, because that was my first experience of clubbing. We used to go every Saturday night. God knows how my parents let me go there, because it was literally like the biggest drug den of all time. It was amazing. And I'm probably going to get told off for that, but it's true. And it was phenomenal. As you say, the parachute used to come down at midnight, I think it was, and everyone would lie underneath it and sort of like, oh, my God. I'm like, having the most amazing experience of my life. It was just wonderful. There was no alcohol allowed.
Yeah.
But people could bring their dogs and their children.
Yeah.
Did you ever see a dog or a child there?
I mean, I would have only been about 18, so if I would have took a child with me, it probably would have been really weird.
I first went at 14.
Wow.
We had forged IDs.
That's not a thing anymore, I don't think.
No, I don't think you can you?
We used to do like, I remember like I would memorise like my star sign from whoever's ID, I would borrow and copy their signature in case the security asked me to copy their signature or ask me the star sign.
Why would they ask you the star sign?
Because they're trying to catch you. And what's hilarious is like, I've then gone on, obviously run clubs for the last 30 years. I've never once seen a doorman ask anybody for their star sign. And the thought that many doormen would actually know the star sign anyway would be hilarious. But
It might even be a bit of a hashtag Me Too situation if they did as well. Do you know what I mean? He asked me if my star sign might be like, he was coming on to me.
I'll tell you what, the song that really, really reminds me of Whirligig is a track called Templehead by Transglobal Underground. I don't know if you know that.
Can you sing me a bit?
It just goes la 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 la. That's it, and then it's got a rap over it, and it's just got a massive breakbeat. It's
okay,
wonderful, and that's the Whirligig song for me. And that
right.
that would have been 93, I think. Maybe a little early. That'd be 93, I reckon.
But wasn't it a great night though? Brilliant. Oh my, do you know what? Every experience there was different, and the people you'd meet, and it was kind of a bit hippie-ish, and they used to sell like really disgusting organic food, and it was just such a hodgepodge of weirdness. I can't imagine that being a thing now.
No. And I think if it is, I think it would be people of that generation trying to create it. It's really weird. That kind of, I don't know if that's offensive to call that, some of that scene like the crusty scene, but that's what we would call it. When we was, in the early 90s, and it would lend itself to some of the electronic music that was going on and some of the guitar music that was going on. And I watched a bit of footage of the Levellers performing, headlining Glastonbury, performing One Way, which is an amazing record. And they come on stage and they were like First of all, it was just like this dude playing a didgeridoo for ages, and then it all just comes in, and obviously they didn't look like they'd just jumped out of a makeup department or a bath. You know, they looked like they'd been sleeping in a field in Glastonbury for a couple of months. Yeah. But that was their thing. And I remember watching it, and it just looked brilliant. Like that they were just like just going for it. And I was thinking, that's never gonna happen again. You know, there's mm-hmm. never gonna be a band that looks unwashed like that.
Yeah, you know, true.
With guys with dreads and didgeridoos and, you know, all the jokes about dogs on bits of string and things like that, and the stuff like the whirligig thing. And I just think, you know, that scene was should be celebrated, because it kind of gets overlooked, that scene in music. And I've spoke about this quite a lot on this podcast, that early 90s British indie scene, guitar scene, is forgotten. You know, it goes straight from Manchester to grunge to Britpop, and the British stuff that was happening there, Carter Wonder stuff.
Oh yeah, Carter. Oh my God. Yes.
All of them bands never get the credit they deserve. You know, Jim Bob from Carter, Miles Hunt from Wonder stuff. In my opinion, two of the greatest songwriters, definitely lyricists, like of the last 30 years. But it always goes Stone Roses, Nirvana, Oasis, and I think there's so many bands in that period before that get forgotten. You know,
I used to get bullied at school and told that I looked like Miles Hunt from the Wonder stuff. I used to get called Miles a lot, so that's a bit triggering for me because I had my hair naturally red and quite curly and long, and I did look a bit like him, to be fair. So it was a good shout. But yeah, that period in time, it's funny because they're probably all living on longboats at the moment, aren't they? On a canal somewhere, all that kind of music scene. I just feel like, you know, they're the only people that still exist that look like that.
Yeah.
That are still a bit crusty. But you're right, you wouldn't have that now because, well, also everyone wants to fit the mold of what a record label might be asking for because it's a different scene, there's less money. You just want to get your records heard and it's saturated. Yeah. So, you know, a label would turn around and say, well, we don't really, you know, you need to sharpen up. Here's your stylist, here's a choreographer, da 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 da. Not necessarily a choreographer, but you wouldn't have the opportunity to be that sort of grungy. But that was what was great about Whirligig, was that you could go and wear whatever you wanted, be a bit dirty and be a bit like, just free, and it was hippie-ish. It was like an interior Woodstock, because it was inside a Hackney Town Hall or something, wasn't it? It was like they condensed Woodstock, you know, made it very British and put it into a little building.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, let's fight to give them some justice and get them recognised.
Definitely. Let's do it.
Okay.
Favourite song from an artist from your home county?
So we did reference E17 before, but I'm going to go with Blazing Squad, because Blazing Squad were from Chingford. Mm-hmm. And I did meet them once in the recording studio when I was...
All of them.
And I remember thinking, like, because obviously the label would pay for your lunch when you're recording. And I was just thinking, that's a lot of lunches the label's got to pay for, 12 of them. That's 12 lunches, you know.
Is that how many was in the squad?
12 were in the squad. Yeah. I mean, there were some like notable members of the band, one that went on Love Island a couple of years ago as well. But actually, they weren't that awful. Some of their songs were quite memorable. Crossroads was not bad, right?
That was a cover, right?
Yeah, it was. But was it Bone? I want to say
Bone Thugs and Harmony, yeah.
Harmony, yeah. But they had some other songs that they'd...
Oh, was it? Or was it Jodeci?
Might have been. Aren't we terrible? I haven't looked anything up. I've just turned up here with my leopard print thing on my head. I haven't looked anything up at all. It could be anyone.
Yeah.
Could have been anyone. But Blazing Squad. They were very much a lot younger than me. And they were like the new E17 when they came out, because it was from that area. It's like, you know, just local boys from the street. Everyone knew their mums in the air. It was, you know, they were a nice bunch of young men, really, I thought.
Yeah.
They weren't, you know, they weren't quite as edgy as So Solid Crew. I was a bit scared of So Solid Crew because they were also in the studio. We all used to go into the same studios and stuff. And the So Solid crew, yeah, I wouldn't have approached them. Whereas Blazing Squad, we were talking about wagon wheels. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was a bit, they were just nice young men. Yeah, who was the other one? There was So Solid crew, Blazing Squad, and there was another one as well that were even grimier, but I can't remember who they were. Like another crew.
Heartless with crew.
Who was Dappy in? What was Dappy from?
What was he called? Talisa. What was his band called?
But were they so solid? I don't have to get my phone out. Sorry, can we put a call through to Dappy, please? Wait, let's have a look. Dappy.
Oh, what was his thing called?
Dappy. Rapper. Oh, no, N-dubs. Thank you. N-dubs. That would have driven me mad. And with Talisa.
What become of him? What become of her? Like, she was like become a TV star, didn't she?
Yeah, she's been back. She's been back doing the rounds recently. I think she had some sort of, I think she had a court case because she'd co-written a song for a huge international pop artist, and there was some sort of copyright issue that she went through. But she's actually been writing for other people. She's very talented.
Yeah,
very talented girl. I think she just, you know, seemed to like lose her way a little bit and was a bit of a victim of, you know, when it first, the press first started turning nasty and it started to, you know, really, they started to really pap people and follow them around and it just became unpleasant. She was at the start of that and an unfortunate casualty, I would say. Mm. Now we're a little bit better again. We've gone through all the recording people's phone calls and stuff. We've gone through that and it's sort of a little bit more controlled, isn't it, I think?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Last track. A song that many may not know but you would like them to hear.
Okay. God, this is really, really, this is the hardest one. I'm going to go with something very obscure. It's called, I had to write it down because it's in French, Marcia Baila by Lerita Mitsuku.
Easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. It's a French song from 1984, and I recently discovered it because it's on my Wii Fit. I do a dance thing on my Wii Fit, and it's usually got like songs from that are quite recent, and it has this one, and it's this weird French pop track. I'm a big fan of like Christine and the Queens, and I loved Vanessa Paradis when she came out. I'm very much a, you know, francophile kind of thing, and this track is just awesome. It's about their friend, it's a band, and it's about their friend who died, who was a dancer, and it's just really, really odd. The video is really odd and sort of ballet based and stuff. Just really kooky, and I'm sure it wasn't a massive hit at the time and will never be because it was in 1984, which is decades ago, but random. But I was gonna say Heartbeats by The Knife, but I think most people probably would of our age group would know that.
But it's not necessarily song. You know, a song that, like, I guess no one knows, but yeah, sometimes, like, you know, it's just something that people may have forgotten. It's like, look, this is a tune.
It's a mood, that one, it's an amazing record.
Can I ask you to send over the list of all the songs you've chosen?
Of course.
I remember most of them, but the French one I haven't got an open L of remembering.
No, I haven't myself. I'm having to read it.
And the reason,
Marcia Baila.
The reason being that I do a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast so people can go and listen to all of the records that you've chosen and a load of the ones that we've spoken about as well.
Amazing.
So as we hopefully find ourselves on the way out of lockdown or going back into lockdown, let's stay positive, Alexis. And what have you got coming up creatively, and what are you looking forward to most personally?
Oh, I'm looking forward to kissing people and having sex with them, I think, mostly. That would be probably what I'm looking forward to. Yeah. and just hugging all my friends and touching them inappropriately, stroking their face as they talk. Do you know what I mean? Like, being really touchy-feely. After this, I'm going to be the most physically demonstrative person in the universe. That's what I'm looking forward to. Career-wise, so you're lucky you're in a Zoom room somewhere. I'll be when Carol pops around to give me a kettle, I'm going to be licking her face, you know, rubbing myself against her.
Like a cat.
Yes. Oh, but seriously, though, if I didn't have my daughter, I'd feel so miserable because I cuddle her all the time. I've got someone to hug and cuddle.
Yeah.
I just think, come on, let's think of the single people. Yeah. Let's think of the single people right now because it's
Do you know
hard.
What? That's the one thing I miss the most. And whether it's just the conversation or the hugging, you know, that connection, it's like working in, you know, in the nightclub industry as well.
Yeah.
Most weekends, you know, I stand there and I chat, you know, 600 people walk past me. Mm-hmm. And these people have been coming to my clubs for years. So I'm not suggesting I hug all of them, but there's a lot of, like, you know, I guess handshaking and hugging and, you know, kisses and stuff. And it's like, I've not had that for 6 months. And it's like, and it's really weird because I'm super tactile, you know, I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
And like, and I find it like just really strange now that, you know, I actually done my first podcast face to face in my studio in London about 3 weeks ago. And it was with the singer from the band The Vaccines. And he sort of walked in through the door and he was like, "Hey, man." And I was like, "All right." And we both had this kind of moment of like, what do we do?
Like, oh, that's awful. And I was like, I
can't do that fucking elbow thing.
No. Like, no.
And I just ended up going for some kind of like fist bump type thing. And like, and it was, I guess it's what you got to do. But normally I would have just been like, "How you doing?" And like giving him a cuddle.
Yeah.
And like, and then when we finished, like, "I'll see you later, my ego, blah, 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 another cuddle, see you later." But
yeah. It doesn't feel right, does it? I'm really pleased that you said that though, because obviously you're in a relationship, you're married. And I always think, oh, well, people that are in relationships, they're not feeling it as much. But it's nice to hear that, you know, it's the same. It's the same for everyone. Of course, you've got your partner, but it's just that general, that's what I mean. I mean, I'm being silly and saying, you know, I want to shag everyone. But, you know, when I talk to people, I'm like you, I'm like an arm, I'm touching their arm. And because for me, that's like, that's reassuring them. And as I'm chatting to them and it's like, yeah, I am listening to you and I think you're great. And aren't you wonderful? And to not be able to do that is so hard. So I'm looking forward to, I'm going to have a physical demonstration fest in 2021, please God. And then career-wise, yeah, I'm doing my Twitch channel. I'm just really going hard at that, streaming comedy content, because there's just not stuff really being commissioned at the minute. So it's kind of like I just want to get my outlet, and I love it. It's great. It's so lovely because I'm starting to know the people that come and watch my stuff and build in a following and stuff. So it's new. It's a whole new world for me. You know, very had to get savvy with the technology and stuff, much like when I started podcasting. So I'll continue with that, continue with the Funny Women podcast. I'm going to start my own podcast. And just keep trying to distract, really. That's it.
And for people that want to keep up to speed on all of this, where's the best place to keep up with what you're doing?
So Twitter at Alexis Strum. Same on all of the social media and twitch.tv/AlexisStrum. Not many people are on Twitch, but you don't have to sign up to watch people's shows on it. It's really easy to access.
Are you happy for me to tag you in everything when this comes out?
Tag the shit out of me. Tag me so much that I'm like, Stu, I'll have to send you an official email to say stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, we're on that. Alexis, it's been an absolute joy. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, love. Thank you.
There you go. Told you he was in for a treat there. What a lovely natter. Top music chat and had a really, really good laugh recording that as well. Can't recommend Alexis's podcasts enough. Go and check them out. And yeah, and thanks loads for listening, supporting. When you see us on the socials, it's nice to see that you've all been sharing, retweeting and liking and stuff. So thanks so much, because this is, you know, a labour of love, and it just really is kind when, you know, you see people responding and commenting and saying that they're enjoying the shows. So thanks loads for doing that. And as mentioned at the beginning, if you do want to, you know, go that little bit extra and help the podcast, I do have a Patreon page where you get a lot of bang for your buck as well, from as little as, like, I think it's about £3.50 a month, you'll get like over the month, blimey, maybe, I don't know, another 20, 25 shows. So I can't recommend that enough. And you'd be doing the podcast a very, very big thing if you support us there. So, yeah, I think I'm done. Thanks loads for listening. Stay safe. Have a lovely week. I'll see you next time. Much love. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing, www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.